None of you are going to be stepping on my open toes this festival and concert season because I will be in boots. And if you need boots, go to Tecovas. They have first wear comfort. So this means little to no break-in period. So if you're listening to this in April and think, oh my gosh, Coachella is right around the corner, I need these boots now, but oh my gosh, breaking in boots is such a pain. No. These boots have little to no break-in period, and they're also such high quality. It's really hard to find high quality boots paired with this level of comfort. They have timeless styles, they're always gonna be on trend. And if you can get into a store, Tecovas believes in Western for all, so you can feel that when you go in, you're gonna be greeted like family, offered a boot shine and a drink, the hard stuff even if you prefer, and you can get custom fitted for a new pair of boots. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They do offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Okay, I'm gonna get a little sad girl for a second. But Mother's Day is around the corner. And if your mother is still in your life, a really unique gift that you could get is My Life in a Book. How it works is that every week, mylifeinabook.com will send your mom questions via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or custom questions that you wish to ask, and then she can either type her response or record her voice. And My Life in a Book compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. Oh my god, I'm gonna cry. And then they can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. So it's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Woo! If you're interested, check out mylifeinabook.com and use code Lexi at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code Lexi for 10% off today. Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the At Lexi podcast. Thanks for tuning in to a new episode. If you follow me on Instagram, my handle is the same as the name of this podcast. We have our first audiogram up, okay, where there's little visuals that are going to come along with this podcast that you can see on social media. Step up, all right? We're making progress. Maybe next I'll have an Instagram for the account, all right? We've been scrappy here. Time to grow. Also, I'm coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Have you heard? There's a horrific storm. My grandma calls me. She's like, honey, are you guys prepared? I don't know if it's just because I'm from the East Coast, but I'm like, it's just a rainstorm. I'm not pressed about it. But there were caution signs all over the highway. If I had a dime for every time I drove on 66 in a torrential downpour, I could pay rent. Here in California, all these warning signs. Check on your Southern California friends. Are they okay? They're fine. We're all fine. Okay, now for the topic of this episode, how to work out more. There's groups of us, right? There's the group that's not a fan of physical activity. They'd like to rest, be horizontal as often as possible. There are strategies for you. Then we have the group of people that enjoy working out. It's just hard to get there. You know, you might sign up for a yoga class, take it, feel so amazing afterward, also feel proud of yourself, and then not make it to another yoga class for another month. I'm gonna help you figure out how to increase that. Then there's the group of us that really enjoy physical activity. We're high energy people. We're used to working out most of the days during the week. Maybe we grew up playing sports. We're going to practice 4 or 5 times a week, maybe a game on the weekends, maybe tournaments. Your body is used to moving a lot. And then when you hit your adult life and you're not playing on a league anymore, suddenly your body has all this time that they're now resting and your body's not used to that. So how can we create a routine for you in your adult life? We've got strategies and I'm gonna get into them. And hopefully you finish this episode thinking, okay, I think that one's gonna work for me. This is my why. We're gonna figure out your why and your how. So let's get into it. Number one, make it convenient. How can we make working out convenient for you? My personal example works with rock climbing. I've been rock climbing for about 6 months now, and I go 3 to 4 times a week. How do I do this? Is there a certain time that I go? Do I have an accountability buddy? No, it's none of that. What I have is a pair of shoes and a chalk bag, which are the only things you need to climb. I think keeping a gym bag in the car is fantastic. My rock climbing membership gives me access to gyms in a ton of different neighborhoods around Los Angeles. So if I'm driving in my car, and I have on a t-shirt and sweats, Do you know how many times I've been stuck in traffic or in an area and think, why don't I just stop and climb for a little bit? No exaggeration, at least 20 times. 20 extra workouts just because I had my shoes in my car and I thought, let's just stop. As time has gone on, I've increased the gym bag. Now I have a pair of running shoes in my car. Same thing. Maybe I'm on the west side. It's a really pretty day. Haven't done this yet. This is a hypothetical that I can absolutely see becoming a reality. I'm on the west side recording the podcast. It's a very nice day. I think to myself, I have a kind of easy afternoon or I have a little bit of a lunch break. Why don't I go on a long run on the beach? That's so much more convenient than waking up thinking, okay, I just got to make it to the beach and then I can do that beach run. I was coming here anyway to record the podcast. Why don't I just wear running clothes here and then I do that after? So keep a gym bag with you. Another way to work out more is to make it desirable. There's a coffee shop I like to work at. It's difficult to find parking around there. It's also in walking distance from my house and the walk is quite pretty. Walking is the desirable option. It is nicer and more convenient to walk there. I walk there and back. That's 2 extra miles just incorporated into my day that are nice. Similarly, if I know there's a nice walking path and I've been wanting to catch up with a friend, I think, oh, it'd be so nice to talk to them on that walk. Something that doesn't seem like a chore, where I would enjoy walking that path. I'm not having to get myself to do it. It sounds fun. Find something that seems desirable to you. Strategy number 3, figure out if you're in need of social time or alone time and find a workout that suits that. When I was in need of alone time, I took up running. I was doing long distance running and it was my time. That was my time to not talk to anyone, to just be with myself and nobody else. And I looked forward to that sacred moment where I could not be disturbed. In this chapter of my life, I'm looking for more socialization, and the rock climbing community is very friendly. I love that the rock climbing gym has a communal aspect. I found that climbing piques a lot of people's curiosity, and a lot of people are down to try it. So I have a good bit of friends that are members of the climbing gym now because it's so fun. I have no problem going alone, but I love going with friends. But climbing is fun because it's problem solving, and there might be a couple other people that are trying to climb the same path as you, and you guys can work on it together, where you can cheer each other on, you can gab and gossip if you want. There's definitely been times where I'm like, oh, I haven't caught up with Olivia in a while, like, let's do a little catch up, let's meet at the rock climbing gym. Then we get to gab and also climb, so I get to go home and mark a little X on my calendar. Girl, you worked out today. You don't have to do that. I just have math teacher parents and I love data. But it's getting my little social time in and working out. Same thing. My friend Rebecca and I, she wanted to do some 12:30 on the treadmill. I just hopped on the treadmill next to her. Suddenly we've walked for 30 minutes and all we've done is catch up, have a great little convo, get a couple giggles in, and a workout in too. Strategy number 4, make it competitive. Find ways that you are eager to get there for some sort of goal in mind. A lot of people started the year doing the 75-day challenge. Maybe that'll work for you. If you want something really intense, you want to really challenge yourself, that'll definitely get you working out more. This time last year, that was the strategy I used because the Pilates studio that I was a part of gave out a punch card in January. And every time you took a class, they would punch the card for you. And if you received 20 punches, you would get a $50 gift card to their store. And I thought, I'm gonna do this. That's a good challenge. 5 Pilates classes a week. I did it. I got all 20 punches and I got myself a new workout set. And that felt so good. And it gave me a little extra push because all I wanted to do is get those 20 punches. I probably would have done it for less. It wasn't even about the $50. It was just, let me see if I can do this. I've always had a little competitive bone in my body, so that works well for me. If you want to take more of the make it desirable, make it social route, by all means, these are why I'm giving different strategies. You're just gonna figure out which one works for you and your life and give it a shot. This might be a bit trite. Strategy number 5 is make yourself accountable. ClassPass, for instance. I'm sure a lot of us are familiar, but ClassPass is a membership where you get access to a ton of different studios. So if I felt like taking a Pilates class at Legree on Monday and then at Motivate on Tuesday, I wouldn't have to have a separate membership to each of those studios. You also have credits to go to different gyms and do gym time. I think it's fantastic. However, if you book a class on ClassPass and you don't go, you get charged. That sometimes will force a girl to get up and work because I'm like, I don't want to lose $36 right now. That would be so annoying. Also, if you have a friend that is incredibly reliable, that could work. I've found that my accountability partners that I've had in the past, none have stuck for too long. I need to keep this to myself is what I found. If someone wants to join me, great. But I have a hard time relying on other people because people like to flake. It's human. I'm one of them. But getting charged money, that'll motivate me. Strategy number 6. Hire fast, fire fast. What does this mean? This is a tactic that sometimes people use in businesses. Instead of taking a long time to find the perfect person to hire, sometimes companies use the hire fast, fire fast. They bring someone in. If it doesn't work, they let them go and they hire someone new. You can try this with your workouts. Sign up for one yoga class. If you don't like it, never do it again. Don't force yourself to continue. Try things out. If there's a walking path that everybody loves and it's not your tea, find another one that you like. You know, maybe you've been running on the East River, try the West Side Highway. Maybe you've been running and you hate it, try walking. You're running and you want it to be social, try a run club. Explore, okay? Maybe get out your notebook, write a list of all the possible workouts that you've been interested in, and you can get granular with them. For instance, instead of saying run, you can, but I would go as far to say run Palisades Park because that's something that I actually want to do. And that, I love checking something off. We'll get to the data one. That's one of the strategies. I just think that there should be caveats for that because I'm not trying to promote any sort of toxic reward system or, you know, to the point that you're mad at yourself. I don't want this to be an unhealthy relationship. I really want us to realize how fantastic exercise is for the mind, body, and spirit. And let's find ways to get you doing it more because a lot of us haven't either found the right thing that we like or we've found what we like and we need to get there more often and we're not sure how to do that. Going back to workouts that I want to do, I want to try a heated room. I want to do a hot Pilates class. There's particular instructors. There's a Barry's instructor that everybody loves. I want to take his class. I wanted to do a core power yoga in the valley. They were doing an R&B class. I wanted to do that specific class. I also like this particular hill in Griffith Park. So if I made a checklist on my notes app, got to check them off every time I did those specific workouts, it's almost like a bucket list and it's exciting to get to do it and you're moving your body. Reframe of this exact thing, you could think of it as a bucket list or you can just have a note on your phone of workouts that you already enjoy. Like, oh, I've got some time today. I feel like working out. What am I in the mood to? Oh, I could go walk Griffith Park. Maybe I should try Runyon. I could walk around the reservoir. Maybe I'll run on the treadmill. I could take a Legree class. I could go to the climbing gym. I could take a boxing class. Like, remind yourself all the options that you have that you've done and you love. Strategy number 7, associate it. I remember when I took Taekwondo lessons as a kid, I wasn't particularly passionate about it. I was very passionate, however, about the Strawberry Fanta at the Subway next door. So I didn't mind going because I was like, at least I get a Strawberry Fanta. Find whatever that is for you. Find your Strawberry Fanta. I did want to note that I don't want this to become too intense of a reward system where if you want a Strawberry Fanta, you only can have it if you go to martial arts. I think it's important for you to let your brain know we can still have that drink if we want. We don't need to work out for it, but you want an association. I liked running because it was an opportunity to meditate. I found running to be very meditative when I was feeling incredibly anxious and in a lot of emotional pain. I love doing the guided runs on the Nike Run Club app. I looked forward to that. So it wasn't just simply the running, it was the guided runs. I also loved any chance to be in Prospect Park and run on the Eastern Parkway. This is back when I was in New York. I loved running by the Brooklyn Museum and Grand Army Plaza. I loved it. So there were multiple reasons that I was doing this. This is very similar to the make it desirable strategy. The run wasn't hard to do because I needed to get that extra energy out. I wanted to do a guided run. It relaxed me in a sense, and I liked the path that I took to typically run. But just like I was saying, you know, the coffee walk. You're not just going on an aimless walk. You're walking to get your coffee. Just be gentle on yourself with this one, because if you have a past of eating disorders or exercise addiction, this is a fine line to walk. So is the next strategy, but I wanted to bring it up anyway for anyone that doesn't have that history. So take this as you will. Be gentle on yourself. Strategy number 8 is document it. I use an app called GoodNotes, and I created a calendar on it at the beginning of 2023, and I mark a green X every time I work out. And I'm not incredibly rigid. I give myself an X if I was active. So it's not like, oh, you only get the X if you hit 10,000 steps. If I was at 8,300, you know what? We're gonna give ourselves an X. If I went to go play tennis with some friends, and realistically, I probably only spent like 20 minutes playing tennis over the course of the hour and a half that we were there, I'm still gonna give myself an X because I got out there and was active. I'm not working out with a particular goal other than to give my body some physical activity. I want my body to know I care about it, and I don't want her dormant. I want to be able to have a functioning, mobile body throughout my life. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. With my documentation, I just have one pulled up. In October, I worked out 20 times. I love going through, making my green X's every day that I work out, and then at the end of the month, I total it up, and then at the end of the year, I added up all my totals for 195 workouts, which means I was active 53.4% of the year. And that was a fun activity for me. I just like having the documentation. Strategy number 9 is to find your why. When we have an emotional connection to a habit, oftentimes it increases the reliability and the strength and dedication that we have to the habit. So maybe your why is, I need to get walking because my dog needs walks. My dog deserves to be walked 3 times a day. I have to do it because this little guy deserves the best life. Maybe your why is, I signed up for a marathon in June, and I want my body to actually be able to handle running 26 some odd miles. My why is that I've chosen to do something for myself, and instead of procrastinating, I care about this. It's so fine to care, and I want to train. I've never run a marathon, but I ran a half marathon, and that was fun. I liked it. I liked training. I used the Nike Run Club app, and they had a program that you could break down for a half marathon. I'm sure that they have one for a marathon as well, and it was nice to have a plan and to follow it. And strategy number 10 is time it right. I'm a night owl. I will go to the gym at 8:30 p.m., no problem, have a fantastic workout. If that is not your thing, you're a morning bird, sign up for the 6 a.m. class before work. Do the 8 a.m. class. Maybe it's a lunchtime thing. What are those called? There's like the lunch crunch, I forget. On ClassPass, they used to have cheeky names for the lunchtime class because I think they were a bit shorter. Doesn't matter. Find the time that you like to work out. Maybe you like the weekends. Maybe your why is you want to stop drinking. So you sign up for morning workout classes on the weekends and you can't drink because you're like, oh, sorry, I got like a workout class in the morning. You know, find what you want in this life and see how you can make it happen for yourself in a way that's convenient, desirable, and fulfilling. I love being in shape. I love being able to take my carry-on suitcase and lift it above my seat on the airplane. I like being able to comfortably shave my legs in the shower and just have my leg way up there. One element that I haven't touched on in this episode so far is weight loss. A lot of people, that's their why. They want to lose weight. They want to lose 5 pounds. They want to lose 20 pounds. They want to look good for their wedding, for their vacation. That's a slippery slope. It's also unsustainable. I don't think it's bad to want to gain or lose weight. Do whatever you want with your body. But I think it's important that when you're working on your physical body at the expense of your mental wellness, that's a shortcut. Shortcuts don't often work. If you want to make this sustainable, if you want to work out and love it, the physical benefits are inevitably coming. You will look better. Play the long game. Plan to get in shape over the course of the next 5 years. Okay, I'm trying to look hot at 30, 35, 40. Who cares how I look at my birthday in a month and a half? Don't put your body through intense stress, mental stress, physical stress, to yo-yo. Try it, sure. Who am I to stop you? But you don't have to. You can learn the lesson without experiencing it firsthand. Play the long game, okay? Find your strategy to work out more for benefits outside of these just physical gains. Now that I've said that, let's get into your questions. I did ask on Instagram for questions regarding workouts, physical activity, wellness, and let's see what you have in store for us and if I can help you out. My handle on Instagram is Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, and let me pull up the questions. But first, a word from today's sponsors. Let's talk wellness, ladies. I know some of you love yourself, a new wellness brand, something to hop on, and let me tell you about Fleur Marché. They deliver simple, quality, and affordable wellness solutions. Founded by women and inspired by the female dreamers, hustlers, and activists on the front lines of change, their mission is to help you feel 100% every single day with fun and easy to understand plant-powered wellness products. Their plant-based wellness patches deliver ingredients topically. These ingredients are then absorbed into the skin and into the bloodstream. You just stick it right on your skin. They're vegan, cruelty-free, latex-free, tested for pesticides, herbicides, and other contaminants before and after production. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get a special discount just for the At Lexi listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with promo code Lexi at checkout. Orders over $50 get free shipping. Go to FLEURMARCHE.com and use code Lexi for 20% off your first order. You know what I wouldn't miss at all? The vicious week before my period when I feel like crawling out of my skin and the cravings. Oh my God, I could have eaten my own hand if it was rolled up in batter and deep fried. But now it's easier to manage PMS with estrogen control and hormone harmony. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. The beauty of adaptogens is that they help your body adapt to stressors, so the chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. There are 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony right now, and the biggest benefit is women saying they feel like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. That's HAPPMAMMOTH.com and use the code Lexi at checkout. Starting from the top, Poppy Ren wants to know how to stick to your healthy habits when you're super busy. To have a realistic approach, this goes back to playing the long game. If you have it in your head that you need to take these particular supplements every single morning and you need to have your warm water with lemon and your Chinese herbs and morning sunlight and 8 to 10 hours of sleep as well as raising your heart rate and breaking a sweat. It's great to do all these things, and on a perfect day, if you get them all in, fantastic. But progress over perfection, right? Getting to the gym, getting your morning sunlight, that's still progress. You took your vitamins. Have your healthy habits. If you get them all done, fantastic, but do not beat yourself up for not getting them done. So find what is doable within your super busy schedule. Plan ahead as much as possible, whether that be having your vitamins out on the counter by a cup as soon as you wake up, or maybe taking a meeting while on a walk. This is a long way to say progress over perfection, which goes into the next question by TP Worry. How do you avoid being hard on yourself when you don't move as much as you would have hoped? Be proud of yourself for moving at all. Progress over perfection, okay? You did a little, that's good. Next time, do a little more or do the same amount again. Progress. Okay, this is something that I tried to touch on earlier, so I'm glad that someone asked a question. Sophie wants to know how to get over the constant cycle of starving yourself and then binging. It's been years. If you're a woman alive today on the internet, you've probably had some sort of food issue. You've probably had an unhealthy relationship with eating at one point or another in your life. This person, they said it's been years. When it comes to food, I don't like rules. Anytime that I've ever told myself, you cannot have this, that is the only thing I want. When I tell myself that I can have whatever I want, that's when I stop wanting it. If I said to myself, no cookies this week, I would be thinking about cookies all week long. And then once the week was over, I would buy myself a pack of Oreos and down the whole thing. If I woke up Monday morning and instead of saying no cookies, I said, do you want to just eat a pack of Oreos throughout the day today instead? Like, do we want to have Oreos for breakfast, lunch, and dinner today? If I wanted to, great. But even giving myself the permission to do that, suddenly it doesn't even seem that desirable. Once I allow myself to do whatever I want and have free rein, I make good decisions for myself.
Because there's no aspect of rebellion. I'm no longer rebelling against something that I required of myself. If I have ultimate freedom, the best form of rebellion I can make in that scenario, according to my psyche, is to do the right thing.
I start making the bad decisions when I tell myself, you can't do this. You have to do this and this and this. When I'm like, do whatever you want, girl. It's your life. If you want to have 10 packs of Oreos today, you can do that. You can go to the store and only eat Oreos all week. Suddenly I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. I'm better than that. I hold myself to a higher standard. It's like, okay, well, that's also your choice. Do whatever you want. Give yourself a little bit of some grace and say, I know why we've been doing this. I know that we're starving ourselves because we feel guilty about the amount of food that we binged out on, but the reason that we're binging is because we're starving ourselves and we're on this horrible cycle. I'm no expert, but I would also suggest maybe having a little meal plan for yourself where you eat every hour or two and get your body used to having food frequently so your body knows. It's cool to have food in our body often. Okay, we're seeing food often. We're allowed food often. We can wait 40 more minutes to not eat because we have another meal in 45 minutes. Give that a shot. As I said, not an expert. Really, my goal of this episode was just for you guys to increase your physical activity, but I know inevitably, as modern day people existing in a world with so much processed junk, and I'm not even talking about food when I say that, that we've all struggled in some way or another. Pascal wants to know, what are good running shoes? I always go to the running store. I'll go on the treadmill. They'll analyze my run, and then I try on a couple shoes, run on the treadmill with them, and then pick my favorite ones. Ariana wants to know my thoughts on personal training. I worked out with Jane K. Simmons, coach of Movement and Mindset, for a year, maybe, three times a week, two or three times a week. I loved it. I adore her. I also love her workouts. It was a lot of functional fitness. So working on things that are applicable to your movements in everyday life. You know how I use the example that I can very easily put my carry-on suitcase above my seat on the airplane? When I was powerlifting with her, I could have my checked bag put overhead. I was so strong. I would get off the subway and run up the stairs and not be winded. I was in such functional shape. I still am, but I just remember that was a big jump for me. I hadn't been in my adult life, and then suddenly I was, and I've sort of maintained it since. Probably not as strong as I was during that point, or strong in a different way, but I loved it. Also, her program's called Movement and Mindset. So she is very aware of the headspace, because she's had a past of, I don't know if it was disordered eating or something of the sort, but the mindset aspect is really important in fitness when a lot of my friends' moms raise them on like the magazine crash diet, the Special K diet, all these things where you're having boiled eggs and wine, or I don't even remember what they were. There were a ton of different ones. The Southwest diet, the Atkins diet. There are so many little ones. Like, diet culture was so around. And now we're trying to filter through all of this noise to find, you know, we're in the generation now of intuitive eating and, as I said, movement and mindset. So we're working on swinging the pendulum in the opposite way. I think we'll balance out soon. I hope it'll balance out. It'll either balance out or swing in the other way. I am trying to find that personal balance for myself. And I think I've found it. I feel good about food and exercise. I feel really comfortable with it. I think I've had ups and downs with eating, but I think the worst of it for me was when I was like 20, 21. That was rough. Yeah. But now I'm 27. I'm like, I'm just trying to look good as I age through my 30s and my 40s. I want to make sure that I'm a MILF. And I don't want to be the skinniest that I've ever been at 27 and then be a blowfish in my 30s, I want to look steadily good. I want to age like fine wine. Michelle wants to know how I stay motivated. I do agree with the belief of discipline over motivation, because motivation is inevitably fleeting. Discipline is what keeps you accountable and showing up day after day. I, however, in this stage of life and recently, in the recent years, find workouts that I don't need motivation for. I really like going to the climbing gym. It's not a chore for me. It's recess for me. When I've been sitting on a computer for too many hours, I can't wait till I hit a breaking point. Not a breaking point, a break point, a resting period, like when you've completed a task. And then I put on my clothes. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go climbing for a little. It brings me joy. There's no motivation when you're doing something that feels like a treat. I've gotten to a point where I get the same delight from climbing as I do, I don't know, going thrifting, going to the beach. Like, it's a hobby to me. I don't need motivation for it. I do sometimes, if my body's in need of a workout and I'm feeling resistant towards it, I'll tell myself, why don't we just drive there? And if we're there 5 minutes, whatever. And I just know myself, I'll always stay more than 5 minutes. It's a little bit of a mind trick. But here's the thing, I'm allowed to take it. So even though I don't often, knowing that I can and it's up to me gives me the freedom to feel like it's my choice to stay and not that I'm forcing myself to stay, similar to the food. Okay, if I allow myself to order $300 worth of DoorDash snacks, knowing that I can helps me make a better decision. I wonder if there's a better way to word that, because it makes so much sense in my head, I just don't know if it's translating. Ella wants to know, on tips through motivating through the luteal phase of the cycle, I'm on birth control, so my cycle is fake. But I do know that there's information out there for particular workouts that work best. I do remember pre-birth control. This is so strange. But when I was on my menstrual cycle or in my luteal phase, I would just go on bike rides. Like, I would get a city bike. This is back when I lived in New York. And I would take an easy breezy bike ride because I was sitting and it was nice to sit. I guess luteal is not your menstrual cycle. That's the one either before it or after. Oh, I'm such a bad female for not knowing this. I should know this. Follicular is when you have the energy. Ovulation is when you have peak energy. And then it's luteal and menstrual, I believe. So luteal is like your PMS. Oof. That I would just be as gentle as possible. I'd be like, whatever, we're already having a hard time. If we need to be horizontal, so be it. Yeah, I think I would use the trick of you can do nothing. And then if I do anything, I'm proud of myself. But long walks, maybe. Or something fun. Or something slow. Much to think about. Ella Grace also asked if I meditate or exercise my brain in any noticeably beneficial or consistent ways. I play a lot of games, and I think that keeps my brain agile. I do the crossword, spelling bee, Wordle. These are New York Times games. I also have a sorting puzzle game that I play. I also do Duolingo. Guys, my streak on Duolingo, I'm at 205 days. I'm not sure if I can answer your question, though, because I've always done something like this. It's hard to say whether or not it's been noticeably beneficial because I didn't go from not doing it to suddenly doing it. 2022, spring, I was subscribed to Headspace, and I was doing Headspace meditations often, multiple times a day even. And that was actually noticeable in a way that it helped me rest without napping. It would give me a time to calm down and recenter. So yeah, I guess that was something that was noticeably beneficial, and I'm not sure why I fell out of this. Dana wants to know what I listen to while I work out. If I'm running on a treadmill, lately I've been running to the Beatles. They're upbeat songs because they're quick and it just keeps me going. When I would run outside, I would do guided runs. And when I walk, I'm either in silence, on the phone, or listening to an audiobook. Chrissy wants to know how to not become too obsessive with fitness and well-being in this day and age. It's not easy. It is no easy feat to become neutrally involved with fitness and wellness. Because on one hand, the idea of being active 4 to 5 times a week or 4 to 6 times a week sounds really intense and demanding. However, if you think of it just as you give yourself a 30-minute recess every day, suddenly that seems quite natural and easy and desirable. I love a reframe. Because if I told myself, okay, we're doing HIIT workouts every day, I would feel like I was a gym rat and it would be crazy. But just doing a little problem solving and a little climbing, my friends call it my recess. I just go for recess. That's easy, breezy, fun, healthy. So to not become obsessed, find a way that it feels convenient, desirable, and fun. Anna wants to know how to feel confident at the gym. I'm always so anxious that everyone sees me. I used to feel this way in the weight section at the gym, and it wasn't until I started working with Jane as a personal trainer that I mentioned that she made me feel so much more comfortable with the squat rack and the heavy lifting. I wasn't so intimidated. But if you are anxious at the gym, I would find a space within the gym that you don't feel anxious at and make that your little spot to do your workouts in. For instance, at the climbing gym, I like doing a little stretch, a little warm up. I go into their back yoga room. I don't do it in the main gym area that a lot of people do it because it's quieter when I'm doing my jumps and whatever. I just want to do it without thinking about it or acknowledging that maybe someone else can see it. But as the saying goes, you wouldn't worry what people thought of you if you knew how seldom they did. Everyone's thinking about themselves. That being said, I do feel confident at the gym when I'm in a cute outfit. So sometimes I do that. Like if I've been out and about and I still have my makeup on for the day and I have cute colors on or something sleek and black, whatever, I definitely feel very confident at the gym. I'm like, I look cute right now. Mae Armstrong wants to know how to know when you need rest. I'm not kidding. I need 10 hours of sleep a night. I can handle 8 or 9, but I love 10, and I try to get 10, and 10 is important to me. And I recommend if you can carve out time to just be horizontal when you get home from work or whatever, just to let your organs know that you're in rest mode and everything's fine. Also, if you're physically injured or a little under the weather, take note of that. That's a lesson I need to take because I was catching a cold and I wasn't resting and I was pushing myself harder because I was mad at myself. Trust me, I am not perfect on these things. I often punish myself for resting, which is so strange because I would never punish anyone else for resting. But you need your high quality sleep every single night. I've been sleeping so well lately, might I just say. I realized I wasn't sleeping well because I started plugging my phone next to my bed. And I stopped that. I've been so good. All the best years of sleep that I've ever had is when my phone, well, it was pre-having a phone, or my phone is in another room. It's in the bathroom. It's in the kitchen. It's not in my bedroom, and it's definitely not next to my bed. I also have done the 3-tap on the power button of the iPhone to make it red, and I just have it on permanently. I cannot tell that my screen is red. It's crazy, and I definitely have noticed being able to sleep better from that as well. Katie wants to know how to prioritize a workout when you have a lot to do. I put it in the same category as I don't even like to work until I have my workout or my room clean. Like if my space isn't clean and I'm like, well, I don't have time to clean right now because I have all this work to do. I have to reframe it. We're not going to do this work well until this is clean. And then I set a timer and clean it as fast as I can. I feel the same thing about my workout, except for because I like to work out at night, it's typically not in the realm of work. I can't do my social things. I don't want to get dinner with friends. I don't want to go out until I've done my workout if I was planning on doing it. So that's how I prioritize it. Once you put working out in the same category as brushing your teeth or going to sleep or getting dressed, it starts to become a lot easier because it's not, oh, should I? It's, I do. I don't want to start working out. I'm just someone who does work out. The reframe. Mel wants to know if I take supplements. I take an iron pill from Heart and Soil. It's called Lifeblood. Literally red blood cells, white blood cells, spleen and liver. Wow! Is it next level? If you are low on iron, that's the only iron pill I will recommend that I've ever tried, that I've loved, noticeably loved. Eliza said, not a question, but you inspired me to go rock climbing on my own and beat my social anxiety. That's so sweet. That's so sweet. That just warmed my heart. That's so cute that some girly out there was at the climbing gym per my I don't know, inspiration? That's so cute. Wow, there's actually a ton of questions. I'm not even a third of the way through, and I think we need to wrap this up. Let me find a last question. Someone wanted to know, why did the 75 soft not work out? Last year, maybe last spring or last summer, my friend Emily started a group chat of a soft 75. So not as intense as the 75 hard challenge, but still a 75-day challenge with a 30-minute workout, a gallon of water, 10 pages of reading. I think there were a few other things. I can't remember. It didn't work out because the group didn't stick with it. And I wasn't personally connected to the challenge. I wasn't seeing the 75 soft thinking, I want to do that, I want to do that. It was sort of like, sure, I'll do that. With a bunch of girls that also were under the same maybe mentality, where the first 2 or 3 weeks, that chat was active. And then it got quieter and quieter and quieter. This also happened in 2017. It was January, my mom, my aunt, my cousin, there was a group of us that were in a group chat, and we would each have a day of the week, and we would send in a workout for the week, and then we'd send in when we had done it. And that was so great for January, maybe even some of February, and then it just fell out. 75 days is many days. You know, like these people that started 75 hard in January, they're only 37 days in. Oh, they're almost to the halfway mark. That's actually quite sweet. But I think this is why it's so important to have your why, to have an emotional connection to keep you accountable, or something that just feels easy, breezy, and effortless. I actually think there's a lot more to talk about in the realm of fitness and wellness, and we've just sort of scratched the surface. I would love your feedback on this episode. You can send me an Instagram DM, however you like to get in touch. You could leave a little review on the podcast if you like it, but I would like to hear what you think about this particular episode and this particular topic, and we can maybe do a part two. If you're interested, let me know. That's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. XOXO, Lexi.
Turn holiday travel from stressful to rewarding. Rakuten helps you save big on travel. They give you cash back when you book with sites like Expedia, Best Western, and Hertz. Even better, you can stack cash back on top of other rewards like airline miles, credit card points, and hotel loyalty programs. Rakuten partners with over 3,700 stores, including Away Luggage, Ray-Ban, and Macy's, so you can be prepared with all the travel essentials and, of course, cute fits for your trip. Keep the rewards going with cash back on holiday gifts for friends and family. With Rakuten, you'll never miss out on savings at your favorite stores. The stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Join for free and start your shopping at Rakuten.com or use the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.